I happen to be a fan of country and western music. And a country and western singer called Hank Loughlin, he wrote a song called From Here to There to You. And in that song, he is sending a letter to his sweetheart, to his girlfriend, who had sailed away overseas. He expresses the pain of separation, and he wishes that he could take the letter himself so that he could be where she is. He is in a place of pain and separation, and he wishes he could be somewhere else. Now, we are often in a place where we desperately desire to move from here, which is a place of want, or a place of lack, or a place of need, or a place of sadness and depression, to over there, which is a place of happiness, a place of joy, a place of provision. And today's message is simply about the fact that God wants you to move from here to there. God wants you to move from where you are now to another place. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to move from want to provision, from curse to blessing, and from sadness to a place of true happiness. Amen? Do you want to be in a place of blessing? That's my question to you this morning. Do you want to be in a place of blessing? Now, in the prayer this morning, Jabez prayed, "Oh God, that you would bless me." That was the first thing he prayed for. He said, "Oh God, that you would bless me." In other words, what was he praying for? He was praying for true happiness. He was saying, "Oh God, would you bring me true happiness?" And so, do you want to move from a place where you are now to a place perhaps where you are truly happy? If you want to go from here to there, then you need to say yes to the journey, because there's a journey in moving from where you are now to where perhaps you want to be. So I ask the question today, does God really want to bless me? Does God really want me to be in a place of true happiness? Does he want to give me finance? Does he want to give me health? Does he want to give me forgiveness even? Does God want to enlarge my confidence and my sense of self-esteem and my self-image? Does God want to make me truly happy? Does he want to make me happy in my marriage, in my family, in my finances, in my health, etc.? Some of you here this morning might say yes, but others are thinking, well, I'm not even sure if I believe in God, so why should I say yes? I believe, my belief as a Christian minister is that God wants to move you from where you are to a place of great blessing. Not just small blessing, not just a little peace, not just a little prosperity, but I believe that God wants to move you to a place of great blessing. You know this idea of prosperity? It's not the idea of the prosperity preachers. It's actually a Bible idea. Jabez prayed this morning, "Oh God, that you would bless me." In other words, God, would you make me truly happy? And then I will explain the other prayers this morning. But you see, one of our problems is that we are here and we're always looking over there, and we would love to be over there, but we never do anything about it. That's one of our problems. To give you an example, I look at my neighbor's grass, okay? And when I look at some of the lawns around me, what do I see? I see lawns that are as flat as a football pitch, flat as a pancake, as they say nowadays. I see lawns that are as green as the Emerald Isle. Now, I have flown into Shannon Airport over my native county, Limerick. Beautiful. You will not find a greener patch on this planet than when you fly over the Golden Vale of County Limerick and you fly into Shannon Airport. It is as green as grass. It's as green as it gets. It's absolutely beautiful. And when I look across at my neighbor's lawn, I see sometimes the Emerald Isle. I see green, I see flat, I see beautiful borders. And you know what? I begin to think, you know, I would love to be over there. I would love to have his lawn. And I begin to hanker after what belongs to somebody else. Have you ever been like that? You see what somebody else has got. Maybe even in church, you see what other people have got and you think, oh, I would love to have that gift. I would love to be in that place. However, until I start thinking that if I want to get from here to there, there is something that I can do. There is something that I have to do. There are steps that I can take. So I can have a lawn like my neighbor, but I've got to do something about it. Okay? I've got to get out the weed killer. I've got to get the shovel out. And you know, my lawn in the front is like the mountains of Mourne because it goes up and down. It goes up and down like that. I've got to get out the rotivator or whatever it is. And I've got to flatten it out and I've got to put some flowers. I've got to dig out the borders and I've got to put some flowers in. So there's something that I can do if I want a lawn like my neighbors. So, you know, we want to travel from here to there. We want to get from where we are now, which may be a place of pain. It may be a place of lack. It may be a place of want. It may be a place of unhappiness. And we want to move from where we are, and we look around and we see people who are somewhere else, and we think, I want to move there. I want to get there. And so the question is, how can I do it? Just want to give you a couple of points this morning. Number one, you can stop living over there. You can stop looking over there. The question is, does God want to bless? The answer is, yes, God wants to bless you. But where does he want to bless you? Does he want to bless you over there? No, he wants to bless you where you are now. He wants to bless you in the situation where you are now. And that's the wonderful thing about God, because God is the God of now. God is the God of here as well as the God of there, but God is here for you. And God wants to bless you here and now where you are. So we have to stop living over there and accept the fact that this is where I am. I'm in pain, I'm in lack, I'm in want, but that is the place where God wants to bless you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. You can pray. Jabez, in the reading this morning, he prayed. He prayed, oh God, that you would bless me. Oh God, that you would make me truly happy. That was his prayer. Now, if we look at Jabez, we find that the name Jabez means pain. His name means pain. And in the Bible, the name of the person is very important. It's not just like, oh, I'll pick a name out of, you know, the latest list of names that are current at the moment, and I'll pick the most popular one. No, in the Bible, people thought about the name because the name represented the person. The name represented the life of the person, and the name defined you. So Jabez was defined by the word pain. He was defined by the word pain because that's the name that his mother gave him at his birth. His mother was in great pain at birth. And I can in a sense understand Jewish men. Jewish men pray a very sexist prayer, or at least they used to pray a very sexist prayer. They used to pray in the Old Testament, every morning they'd wake up and they'd say, oh God, I thank you. I thank you that I wasn't born a slave, I wasn't born a Gentile, and I wasn't born a woman. That was their prayer. And you know what? When I stood beside Liz, when she was giving birth to Rachel and Daniel, I prayed the same prayer. I prayed, God, I thank you that I'm a man. I thank you that I wasn't born a woman. Because, you know what? I don't think I'd be able to bear it. I like watching. There's a program on television called Impractical Jokers. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I love it. Okay? And they play jokes on one another. And it's a competition. Men love competition. And whoever loses the competition has to get punished in some way. My goodness. One of the punishments was that he had to go to this clinic, this class, and they put these things on him, and this instrument, whatever it was actually able to reproduce the pain of childbirth in him. Yeah? So it started mild, and it built up, and it built up. And you know what? That man, he was begging her. You know, he was begging her to stop at the end. And he left the room at the end when it was all over. And I can tell you this, he wasn't smiling. He got out of there as quickly as he possibly could. And you know, the other guys who had put him in that position, they were falling all over the place laughing. But he didn't think it was funny. I could tell by the way he left the room. So, you know, the pain of childbirth in itself is horrendous. But for this poor woman who gave birth to Jabez, it seems, at another level again. Okay? And so she decided that because this child had caused her so much pain, she was going to call him pain as well. And so his birth was very, very painful. But because of the name she gave him, it defined his life, and his prospects weren't very good. His prospects were bleak. She put something on him at his birth. So as he grew up, he was in pain. Was he popular at school? Probably not. Did he have a good job? Probably not. Did he have a successful marriage? Probably not. Pain followed him throughout his life. We like to set our kids up for success, don't we? You know, we want our kids to be successful. But for whatever reason, Jabez's mom did not set him up for success. She set him up for pain. But while he was here in a place of pain and suffering and want and lack, he prayed to be over there. He prayed to God to be over there. And he said, "Oh God, that you would bless me indeed." His prayer was fourfold. He said, "Oh God, that you would bless me indeed. Oh God, that you would enlarge my territory. That you would be with me throughout my life. And that you would keep me from harm. So that I will be free from pain." He prayed to be happy. He prayed to be enlarged. It could be enlargement in his heart. It could be enlargement in his spirit. It could be enlargement in his spirit of generosity, in his faith. Enlarge my territory can mean a lot of things. It could mean enlarge my purse, enlarge my financial provision, enlarge my material belongings. He just prayed, "Oh God, enlarge my territory." And that prayer is okay. It's okay to pray, "Oh God, enlarge my territory." He said, "Oh God, be with me. I need you, God." If you're going into a difficult situation, who would you like to be beside you? Would you like the God of the universe to be beside you going into a difficult situation? And he prayed, "Finally, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And so he prayed to be delivered from what other people had put upon him. People put things upon us. We are set up for pain sometimes by where we are born. We are set up for pain by our background. We are set up for pain by our upbringing. We are set up for pain sometimes by our lack of education. But Jabez prayed, Oh God, bless me, enlarge me, be with me, keep me free from pain. And what happened? The Bible tells us that God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer. So his life is one of pain. But instead of looking over there and hankering after what other people had, he made a decision over here. He made a decision where he was, and God answered his prayer. God blessed him. He gave him true happiness. He enlarged his territory. God was with him and delivered him from the power of his name, from the power of what other people had put upon him, from the power of his background, from the power of his upbringing, from the power of the curse that his mother had put upon him. God enlarged his territory. That's our God. That's our amazing God. We have a great, big, amazing God. Great, big God. You know, I was just doing a bit of study recently on the universe. And what I found out is this. That Voyager 1 was launched in 1977. And traveling at 40,000 miles an hour, it has now just arrived at the edge of our solar system. Isn't that amazing? And that's just one. Our solar system is just part of our galaxy. 40,000 miles an hour, and it's now just arrived at the edge of our solar system, the Milky Way. The sun is 1/5,000th as bright there as it is to us. So it's a dot. Where Voyager is now, the sun is a dot. The Milky Way is only one of 125 billion galaxies in the universe. This is what the scientists tell us. Our galaxy is one of 125 billion galaxies in the universe. Andromeda is the nearest galaxy to us. Okay? It is 10 million, million, million miles away. And traveling at the speed of light, it would take 2 million years for us to get there. That just gives you some tiny insight into the size of our God. Our God is awesome. Our God is amazing. And our God holds the universe in the palm of his hand. Not just the solar system, not just the world. Our God holds 125 billion galaxies in the palm of his hand. Wonderful God. Amazing creator. And you know what? Who knows if the number of galaxies in the universe are not infinite? Because space doesn't end. Space does not end. There isn't a kind of... I used to think about this as a child, and I would think about, well, do you come to a wall where you can't go any further? You don't. Because space just does not end. Space is infinite. God, therefore, is also infinite. But the amazing thing for you to know this morning is that this God who created the universe, who holds it in the palm of his hand, he also created you and me. He knows you intimately by name. He loves you intimately as a person. He's there for you. And what God wants to do is he wants to bless you. God is not small-minded and mean-minded. God is not short of resources with which to bless you and make you happy and give you true happiness. He wants to bless you. He wants to enlarge you, make you bigger in your spirit, in your emotions, and in your material things. That's our God. I remember 1984, I arrived in this part of the world. in Mansfield with a little Fiat 127 and all my belongings in the back of the car. And I lived in a room in Renouth initially, in a small space. Emotionally, spiritually, I felt small. I felt tiny. I felt I didn't have very great prospects, because what I wanted to do was be in ministry and lead a church. And here I was going into education. I wasn't going in the direction I wanted to be in. I felt small. I felt insignificant. I lived in a small place. But you know what? I had two things going for me. Just like Jabez. Jabez had two things going for him. Have you got these going for you this morning? Number one, he was an honorable man. That's what it says. He was more honorable than his brothers. And even though his mom had put this thing on him, she had called him pain. She had caused him pain. Even though she had put this on him, he didn't respond to other people in the same way. He was an honorable man. He was, in a sense, a big-hearted man. He was a moral man. He was a respectable man. He wasn't a schmuck. You know what a schmuck is? A schmuck is a despicable, obnoxious person who just takes revenge on people. That's a schmuck. He wasn't a schmuck. He was an honorable man. And you know, that's the first thing for you and for me. Whatever situation we are in, whatever situation of pain you may be in this morning, be an honorable person. You know, just because life has dealt you a bitter blow doesn't mean to say that we have to go around treating other people in the same way. Jabez didn't. And I think that attracted the glance of God at Jabez, because he was an honorable man. He was more honorable than his brothers. His brothers, who were blessed by their mother, who received respectable names. And he was more honorable, the Bible says, than they were. So that's the first thing I had going for me. That yes, people had treated me badly. I was in a difficult situation. But I wasn't going to be resentful. I wasn't going to take revenge. I wasn't going to hold a grudge. I was going to move on with my life. I wasn't going to live back there. I wanted to move forward. And this is Jabez. He was an honorable man. And the second person is that he believed in this great big God. He had faith in an amazing God. And he knew the God of new beginnings. He knew the God of new hope. He knew the God of healing. He knew that God could take away his hurt. He had that kind of a faith that God could bless him. And so he put his trust in God and he said, God, I want you to bless me. God, I want you to bless me, not a little, but I want you to bless me greatly. What a great prayer to make. You know, when you are blessed, you can be a blessing. And today, I want to ask you, as I round up this message, will you make a choice? Number one, will you stop looking over there? Will you stop being resentful of the deal, if you like, that has been dealt to you in life? Will you accept where you are, that yes, I'm in a place of pain, but God doesn't want me to stay there. God wants to bless me. Will you come to a place of faith that God wants to move you from here to over there? Will you pray this morning, oh God, that you would bless me. Oh God, that you would make me truly happy. And instead of a small, believing in a small God, believe in a great big God. He is magnificent. As I said, just think about the universe. And yet, God knows and remembers you. God knows and remembers you. God loves you. God has you in mind. And he wants to bless you. He's interested in your journey. He's interested in your life. He's interested in you going from here to here. And he wants to make you truly happy. And he wants to enlarge your territory. And he wants you to know that he's with you. and he wants to take away your pain. He knows your pain. He understands your pain. He knows the difficulty that you are going through. So today, will you pray? And today, will you make a choice? That's the simple message I have for you today. God wants to move you from where you are to another place. Will you journey with God? Will you make that choice today? There's a decision to be made by each one of us. You can choose today to stop hankering, and you can choose today to do something, like I can choose to do something about my lawn. You can choose to do something about your life. You can choose to pray to this great, big, amazing God who holds not only the universe, but holds your life and your times in the palm of his hand. Isn't that amazing?